the Lord. Sorry, that took me a moment to get my notes here. It might take me a moment as well. I'm thankful for what we feel in the house of the Lord today. Amen. So we're singing that song. I was thinking how so many times we go through our week, and I was thinking about a quote that our pastor often said, our former pastor, but he would say, the enemy can't take you. Can't change the plan, but he can take your peace about the plan. And a lot of the time we're fighting things through our week, fighting different battles and situations, and we allow the enemy to take our peace from us, knowing that we serve the God of peace, and we allow ourselves to live in that situation. But I am so thankful that today we can come into the presence of an almighty God where there is peace here, there is joy here. I don't know what you've stepped into this place needing. I know a lot are out sick already, as we've said. Some are traveling. There's different things going on. But we serve the God that sits on the throne of every need. His train fills the temple. He's won victory after victory. And so he wants to work in your life today. Really quick, let's all pray together for the word, and then I'm just going to jump right in and you guys can be seated. Lord Jesus, God, we pray that you would have your way in this place today. God, I thank you for what we already feel. Lord, there's a sweet spirit. There's a sweet presence in this place, God, and I believe that you want to work in somebody's heart, in somebody's life today. Lord Jesus, God, today I'm speaking about your word, and I pray that your word would go forth, that it would fall on good soil. Lord Jesus, that when we leave this place today, we would be encouraged through your word. Lord Jesus, that we are victorious, that we are more than conquerors. Lord, I pray, Jesus, God, that you would be with us from start to finish today. I speak peace in this service. I speak your joy in this service. I speak the name of Jesus over this day today. God, I pray that you would orchestrate everything that happens, and that it would be for your glory, for your honor. Lord, anoint my words. They're not my words, but yours. God, let them sink deep within our heart today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. I just want to put a plug in really quick. There's a pink bin back there, and it has my face on it. I just want to clarify, that's the one you put the money into. I don't get the microphone that much. He does. So I feel like I got to say that when I get my chance. And whoever put a lot of money in his and doesn't like me and wants a pie in my face, I'm going to pray for you. Anyways, Hebrews 4 and 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Today I want to speak for a moment about activating your sword. This week I just had a moment or a night, I guess you could say, where I just felt overwhelmed in my thoughts, and I just began to think, why am I battling these things? Why am I feeling this way? And it occurred to me that I kind of go through a routine and I pray the word. That day I prayed, but I just left out praying the word over my mind that day. And the Lord quickened to me and brought to my remembrance the power in praying the word over your heart and your mind. I read a devotional that said, I am involved in each moment of your life. I have carefully mapped out each inch of your journey through this day. Even though much of it may feel haphazard, because the world is in a fallen condition, things always seem to be unraveling around the edges. Expect to find trouble on this day. At the same time, trust that my way is perfect, even in the midst of such a messy imperfection. Stay conscious of me as you go through the day, remembering that I have never left your side. Let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you step by step, protecting you from unnecessary trials and equipping you to get through whatever must be endured. As you trudge through the sludge of this fallen world, keep your mind in heavenly places with me. Thus the light of my presence shines on you, giving your peace and joy that circumstances cannot touch. There's no promise that we won't go through storms. In fact, the scripture tells us We are going to face storms. We will be in trials. We will be in tribulation. And the way this says it, that stay conscious of me as you go through your day, remembering I never leave your side. I'm protecting you from unnecessary trials and equipping you for what must be endured. Some trials must be endured. Some things are working patience in us and faith in us, and they're working something in us, and that's why we walk through them. But sometimes I believe there are unnecessary trials that if we aren't careful, we'll allow ourselves to fall into because we weren't protecting ourselves. But as it says, we can expect to find trouble. That's a bummer that we have to expect that not everything's going to go right sometimes. I would love it if I could say, expect for everything to go perfectly. The sun's going to be shining. We're never going to have any snow. We're never going to have trouble on the roads. We're never going to have you fill in the blank, whatever you don't like about the day, the weather, whatever. I would love to say that stuff never happens. But we do face trials. However, when we do, we must make it a point to keep our thoughts in heavenly places, because we have a tool that the world does not have. We have the Word of God, and that is fighting for us and on our side. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee." When we face trials and tribulations, it's easy to do the complete opposite of keeping our thoughts in heavenly places. Then our human thoughts start to take over and we become a little bit of a negative Nancy. You ever been there? Things are, you know, going okay. Then something bad happens. It feels like one thing's piling up on top of the next. And I know one time I was in the bathroom, and it seemed like every week I would see the same person. And I would say, "How's it going?" while we're washing our hands. And she would say, "Oh, just something new every time, just always sad, just always downtrodden, just always defeated." And I thought, you know, we could all, I actually was just talking to Sister Pat earlier, and I said, we could all sit around a table, all of us, and share tons and tons of things that are going wrong in our life, all the negative, all the bad, all the hurt, all the trial, everything. We could just sit and dwell on it and talk about it, but the enemy would love for us to stay in that, to love for us to get around and talk negative, so he can isolate us into our own thoughts of, "I'm all alone, nobody sees me, nobody knows what I'm going through, everything's just going wrong in my life, I might as well just give up, I'm never going to overcome this, I'm never going to get over this, I've done too much in my past for God to forgive me, so I guess I'll just stay where I am, I won't make any move towards him because I'm never going to achieve all that I want to achieve, I'm not good enough to do what God is asking me to do, I'm not good enough, I'm guilty of that, I've told my husband, I'm not good enough to teach. I'm not good enough to stand up there." If we allow the enemy's lies too long, we start to believe them. We listen long enough without stopping that thought, we'll believe it. We think, "There's no hope for my circumstance. This is it. This is all that I have left." And although I believe that trials come in different forms, in different fashions for each of us, unfortunately, your package of a trial looks different than my package of a trial. We all face different things. Some of us face financial difficulty. Some of us face sickness. Some of us face family problems. Some of us face emotional issues. Some of us face problems on our job. And those are all very real things that breed real feelings, because we are human and we will have feelings and emotions. But feelings and emotions can betray you. You're talking to Queen of Feelings and Emotions up here. Ask my husband. Oh, he's already clapping. Just ask my husband about it. I'm pretty sure when God was designing feelings and emotions, he's like, she's the prototype. All the feelings and emotions go to her. Extra. Sprinkle a little extra. And then a lot of patience for him to put up with it. But we took a personality test at a leadership conference recently, and it's called the Colors Personality Test. And so it tells you are a certain color. Out of four colors, you're one of those colors. That's your personality type. And it says you operate in all four colors, but one of them is where you're strong, where you express yourself. That's how you communicate. And we're taking our quizzes, me and my husband, and I'm writing mine down. It just says, like, rate the picture that, like, speaks to you the most. And there's, like, a picture of somebody hugging and somebody crying. And I'm writing, this is me. Hey, brother, this is me. And I'm writing it all down. And I look over at his sheet. I look at my sheet. And I got the color blue. He got the color green. The color green is practical, logical. I think with my head. This decision makes sense, so that's what I do. Mine is feeling, emotions, acting with my heart, acting out of what feels good. I love first. I act with my heart first. And so I looked, and I scored the lowest in green, and green is what he is. And I was like, this is all making so much sense. You, no wonder. You communicate very green, and I communicate very blue. I communicate in feelings and emotions. And I'm thankful that I have someone who tells me, hey, we can't stay down here like this. We can't stay in our feelings and emotions, because what happens when we feel things for too long is that then we start having these thoughts that creep in. Sometimes, maybe they're valid. Sometimes something really happened. We really felt that. That really hurt, and it really makes me think something. Sometimes I create it. Sometimes I want to feel a certain way, because the reality is we want to feel that way. We can feel that way. We can keep on living and however we want to live, thinking whatever we want to think, feeling however we want to feel. We can stay in that rut. But no matter your background, your personality type, whether you are blue or green, if you feel a lot or you don't feel at all very often, we've all still felt feelings. Hurt, pain, insecurity, depression, discouragement, grief, heartache, sickness, loneliness, fear, anxiety, condemnation, lust, uncertainty, doubt, jealousy, bitterness. You fill in the blank. What do you feel today? A different circumstance maybe caused us to feel that. Our situations may not look alike, but because we are flesh, we will all battle the same feelings and emotions that maybe just stemmed from one thought. Maybe I just had one thought. There's a quote that says, did you know that we can think at a rate of 1,300 words per minute? Imagine the danger of 5 minutes of negative thoughts. 1,300 words per minute. Imagine how deep we've already gotten ourselves if we let ourselves think for even just 5 minutes on something negative and dwell that way. But that is the voice of the enemy. As my husband spoke on Wednesday, that is the enemy that would try to get into our minds to isolate us, to get us to that state of alone, that state of only feeling an emotion. I'm no longer looking at what the word says. I'm no longer looking here or thinking about what I know. But I start to think that what I feel is my reality and walk in that. And the enemy would love nothing more for us to embrace it and say, well, this is my reality. What I feel today is my reality. I'm mad, so it's my reality. I'm sad, so it's my reality. I only see this, so it's my reality. But the word tells us something different. Since I will have thoughts, trouble will come my way, how do I keep my thoughts in heavenly places like we've been talking about? 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You are the prisoner, or your thoughts are the prisoner. What's it going to be? That's how we have a choice every day. I'm the prisoner, or I take my thoughts into captivity. And how do I make them obedient to Christ? I compare my thoughts to the word. And if the word says something different than what I'm thinking, it's not true. Because we believe the word of God is true or we don't. And I believe it's true. Amen? If the word of God is true, then I change that thought to make it obedient to Christ. So if what I'm feeling is telling me something contrary to what the word of God says, my thinking is wrong. And I have to change that and submit that to God. So when I'm feeling alone, John 4 and 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. If you feel alone, that's a promise for you today. when everything around me is going wrong. Romans 8 and 28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. When I feel the shame of my past creeping in, Romans 8 and 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When I feel like I can't do what God is calling me to do, Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. When I am afraid, Psalm 27 and 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When I am sick, Isaiah 53 and 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. When my heart is broken, Psalm 147 and 3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. When I'm struggling in my finances, Malachi 3 and 10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there will not be room enough to store it. When my circumstance feels hopeless, Psalm 119 and 114 says, you are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope. When I need direction, Psalm 119 and 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We stop the untrue, negative thought, and then I replace that thought with the truth of the Word of God. You may feel discouraged. You may think all hope is lost. But what does the Word of God say about his promises for your life? They are good for you. They are for your benefit. And we should use them and embrace them and speak them over our life. I would love to say that all the time God is going to speak to you in an audible voice, and you will know exactly what to do and where to go, and everything will be perfect in an instant. Sometimes I do believe God speaks like that. Sometimes I believe he speaks through people. Sometimes I believe he speaks in different ways. But ultimately, I believe he has given us the word to be his voice in our life. And as long as we are reading the word every day, then we are hearing from him. Says the word, the first scripture we read, the word is alive and powerful. It's alive today. Every morning that I sit down to read it, it's alive. That's why I can read the same scripture again and again, and I can feel something different for that day. I can read the word and something can challenge me and speak to me because the word is alive. It's meant for you and for me to be a light to our path, to guide our way. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17 says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we know right there, our fight, not fleshly. It's in the spirit. We're fighting in the spirit every day. So this is how it tells me to handle it. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The devotional that I read earlier says to expect to find trouble because we are fighting a spiritual battle. And we can't go into a battle without armor. Whether you like it or not, you're going to get up and you're fighting a war for your soul every day. God knows it is. The enemy knows it is. And both of them know your potential. But it's, when will I see that I have potential, and when will I realize that I'm in a battle? And if we use the word in this battle, we have every advantage and every upper hand to be victorious over the enemy. If we will use the word, we are conquerors. If we will use the word, we are victorious. If I came out here, if you told me today we were going to have a battle here, I brought my armor, I set it right next to me, and I never put it on, and people started shooting at me and fighting me and all of this stuff, you would probably say, Sister Johnson, you might want to put this on. This might help you. This might protect you. Hey, don't you want to be protected? Don't you want to be shielded? This will keep you safe. And we have that through the Word of God. What we just read in this scripture, that is our armor against the enemy. But I think a lot of the time we just sit it there. I'll use it. When it gets bad enough, I'll pick it up. We don't use it to be proactive. We use it to be counteractive sometimes. Oh, now I got to read the word. Now I got to pray the word. Now I remember. What's that say about the armor of God? Let me find it. Ephesians 6. We start panicking because we're in the battle. It's like if I were standing in the middle of the battle trying to throw my armor on quickly. We have to be prepared for the battle. We would never expect a soldier to just go out in the army and just make it without his proper gear. We have proper gear that we are to put on through the Word of God. And if we will do it, we will be victorious. Sometimes when I play dodgeball, the very few times in my life that I have, I find a great strategy is to hide behind everyone else and let everybody else do the fighting for me. And I just stand there, which is a great strategy to keep you in the game longer, in case you're wondering. Here's the problem with that strategy I found, though, is that when everybody else on the team gets out and I'm the only one left, I'm going to die because I didn't pick up the ball and fight for myself. The body of Christ is great. We need each other. We have to have each other to stand together. But as an individual, if we're all fighting, if we're all up in the front fighting for you and you can do it, I mean, that's great for a while. We can protect each other. We can stand together. But at some point, I pick up my sword. I have to choose to fight. I have to choose to read the word. I have to choose to apply it to my life. I have to choose to get up in the morning when my flesh doesn't like it and pull out the word and spend some time in prayer. I have to make those choices because we are in a battle for our souls here. This is a fight. And I don't want to lose when I have all the tools right in front of me. Every piece of the armor is important. It's important to protect us. It's important to shield us from the enemy. The only piece of the armor that's mentioned in this passage that allows you to be on the offense and to fight is the sword. Everything else protects me. It says, above all, take the shield of faith. It quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. To quench means to extinguish, to stop it. It's done. That's great. So when the enemy fires a fiery dart at me and I've put on my shield, that's good. That's protecting me. But what gives me the upper hand is the sword. It gives me the word. That's what gives me power to speak to those things and say, you know what? The Word of God says this, all those verses I read earlier. And I promise if I didn't read a verse for you, there's a verse in there for you. You just open up the word and find it. It's in there. Every piece is important, but the sword is the most. If we can just get that in our mind, that's what makes us victorious. We would look at things a lot differently. I have to put an end, extinguish, stop the thoughts, cast them down, and then I have to replace them and fight back with the Word of God. Until I activate my sword, it's just decoration. I could stand here with a sword in the middle of a battle, but if I'm not using it, it's just looking good. But until I get it out and use it, it then becomes a weapon of victory. We talked about activating the name last week. Just began to speak the name, and people were coming forward for healing. That we have these tools through the Word of God. We have the name. We have the word. We should activate those. We should put them into use, so that we can live a life of victory. Read the word so you can pray the word. It's great to say, pray the word and do this, but unless I'm really reading the word, then I don't have those scriptures to quicken to my mind. When the enemy is combating my thoughts and I'm going through a hard day, I don't have those scriptures to pull out and say, you know, the word says this. I've found so often, it may not even be a scripture that I have memorized that I had even noticed or read before. But if I got out my Bible and read that morning, sure enough, something in my day will come up. And I'll think back to, I remember when I read that. And yeah, that's going to help me right now. It's the tool that helps you. We have to, in order for our sword to be functional in battle, we do have to sharpen it. We have to read the word so we can apply the word. We have to know what it says so we can counteract the thoughts. And in order to win the battle over the enemy, we've got to activate the sword. I know I oftentimes will take the Bible and I'll lay it on my head and I'll start praying scriptures that talk about our thoughts. Take every thought captive, make it obedient to Christ. I'll lay it on my heart. Let the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing in thy sight, O God. I'll lay the scripture on my ears. Lord, don't let me just be a hearer of the word, but let me be a doer and protect my ears. Let what goes in here mean something. Then I go out and I live it and order my steps in your word today. And whatever my hands findeth to do, let them do it with all of their might. We can pray the word over our lives, over our families, over our homes. The difference that it would make if you would start praying the word over your families. I believe we have an advantage. We're praying for a jar every week. I know they may not be praying for themselves, but we are praying. We're praying for those names. We're praying for those situations. We're praying for those people. And I believe if we would start to speak the word and activate the word, something would change in the spirit realm. Because there's power when we pray the word. If we could all stand. I'm reminded of a story. One time I had gotten the groceries, and I had been sitting in my car, and we had at the house that we used to live in Addison, a skunk that frequently visited the area. Shouldn't have scared me that bad, but it did. And so he would wait. I mean, that little guy, he came so close. I would tell him, he's a brave one. He's ready to hurt me. He's ready to attack me. I know it. He'd sit at the outside of my car. So one day I pulled in. He's not home. The groceries are in the back seat. I have tons of them. This is before I had a baby, though. So I thought it was hard then to carry in groceries. It was a different story. But I had a lot back there. And so I'm sitting in the car. The skunk is moving closer and closer. And I'm telling you, we are making eye contact, me and the skunk. And I'm thinking, you have to go because I have to get out of my car. But I thought, I'll just wait. And I text him something funny like, I'll just be in the car when you get home. Don't worry, can't get out. I'll just come rescue me later. If you can't find me, the skunk got me. I'm like being dramatic. But I'm like, I can't get out until the skunk leaves. So I sit there. I mean, I sat there a while. And I kept thinking, he's going to go somewhere. But no, that thing kept staring at me. He was relaxing, rolling in the grass right in that spot where I had to get out. And I thought, oh, my word, he has to go. And I just thought, okay, I have to get out of here. If I don't get out, I am literally in this car for hours until my husband gets home. So I'm weighing the options, thinking, like, do I want to sit in this car for hours, trapped? Or do I want to try to be brave? Like, I don't know, I'm scared. So I'm like, really, I was praying and asking the Lord to help me. That's how much this little skunk scared me. I don't know. So I mustered up all this effort, and I thought, okay, I'm getting out. I got out, and I'm like hiding behind the door. I'm tiptoeing, going to the back of the car, slowly removing the groceries, and I have my eye right on him because I'm thinking, oh, boy, this is when he's going to attack. And then, would you believe it? I started walking inside, and that skunk ran the other direction because I realized, you know what? I'm bigger than him. I shouldn't be in my car afraid of this little animal. I should go inside to my house. My house is right here. Protection is right here. I am almost there. I'm almost to the finish line. And I was thinking about staying in my car for hours because I was afraid of a little skunk. And sometimes I think that's how the enemy works in our life. He's just a little thing doing a lot of talking in our ear and in our mind and saying, hey, remember this? You know about this? Hey, you should feel this. You're never going to stop being sick. Your kids are never going to be saved. Hey, you've done too much to come back to the Lord. Oh, you know that peace you have? No, you're never going to get that back. He likes to just whisper those lies and those thoughts and just shoot those fiery darts, just firing away. And then sometimes we are just like I was in the car that day. I'll just stay right here because I know I'm safe in here, and he's scaring me, and I can't go out there. But then if we would just allow something to arise within us, that we have every tool we need to be victorious. I don't have to be trapped. I don't have to be downtrodden. I don't have to walk in defeat and discouragement. But I have God on my side, Jesus within me, the Word. And I can use it. I can activate my sword. Sometimes I think we're so close to what we want to get to. Just like my house was right there. It wasn't like it was a far walk. I was just letting myself be afraid. And I think sometimes we're so close to what God has, that if we would just persevere a little longer, that if we could just wake up and realize the power we have through the Word of God, through our sword, things would change. I'm believing so much that people that came up here on Sunday for healing are going to be healed. I'm believing so much that homes that were disheveled and things that were going on, that God's working, that there are things going on in the spiritual realm because of we activated the name last week. This week I want us to start activating the Word. Let's start speaking it. Let's start speaking it. There's death and life in our tongue. Let's speak life. Let's speak. Let's not sit around a table and speak negative. Let's speak positive. Let's speak the Word of God. Let's speak, because we know we have hope. It says, I hope in your Word. Your situation may look hopeless. It may look terrible. But the Scripture tells us He's our shield. We have hope through the Word of God. Hope, I believe, is for everybody here today. There is hope. If you're sick, there's hope. If you're discouraged, there's hope. You're having family troubles, there's hope. You're having financial difficulty, there's hope. I feel that so strongly right now. There is hope for you today. Don't walk out this door discouraged today and defeated. There is hope for somebody in this place today. I wonder if we would lift our hands right now and just begin to speak hope. Lord Jesus, God, I speak hope over your over these situations. I speak your Word over every situation, Lord Jesus. God, we call upon you right now. Lord, I pray for every heart, every life in this room. Lord Jesus, God, I pray that you would meet them where they are in their need. God, quicken the Word to us right now, God, how we can apply it. Lord Jesus, it is our roadmap. It is our way to go. Lord Jesus, we have to use it and activate it. I pray that you would empower us, that you would show us, that you would wake us up in the spirit realm to realize the power that we have through your Word and through your name, Jesus. Lord God, I pray for each and every individual here. God, I pray hope would arise in this place. I pray your joy in this place. I pray peace in this place, healing in this place right now, Jesus. God, I pray that your Word would go forth, that it would be sealed within our heart. Let it be sealed within our heart so we will use it, so we'll apply it. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Let the Word that goes forth in second service today be sealed within our spirit. Lord, I know you're trying to speak to us through your Word today and remind us of its power. Lord Jesus, of your power. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for who you are. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place today. We're going to enter into a time of prayer, but I would encourage you, as we're praying, pray for this service. Pray over this next portion, but continue to pray the Word of God over your life, over your family. Only you know what your struggle is. Only you know what the battle is. Only you know what you're dealing with. But there is hope for you today. Hope through the Word. Let's make this place a time of prayer, and we're going to enter into our second service shortly.